السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسكم النار، وما لكم من دون الله من أولياء ثم لا تنصرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. According to the hadith of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he says the following, that the Quran is revealed in 7 different linguistic styles. They are the following: Amrun wa Zajr, command and prohibition; وَتَرْغِيبٌ وَتَرْغِيبٌ, arousal to do good, encouragement to do good, and horrifying from doing evil; وَجَدَلٌ وَمَثَلٌ وَقَصَصٌ, and arguments, examples, and parables. These are the 7 styles which the Qur'an was revealed in. So the verses of the Qur'an fall under these 7 categories. Either they are commands or prohibitions, or Allah is encouraging us to do good or forbidding us from doing evil, or they are parables or examples or arguments. These are the 7 styles. And each one of these styles has its own method and its own objective. In Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Do not incline towards the oppressors, lest you be afflicted by the hellfire. In this verse, there are 2 of the styles. One, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا. Whenever the word لا appears before a verb, it is prohibition. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا. Do not incline. إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, to those who, the unjust oppressors. فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Here is the 2nd style. فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. تَرْهِيب, shock, horrifying from doing evil. And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the hellfire and speaks of the punishment and gives us its description is not because God is preparing us for punishment. God is all merciful, all forgiving. It's not that God is counting the days until, you know, He wants to throw us in the hellfire and He wants to punish us for eternity. The reason why God speaks of the hellfire and the torment of the punishment is that in this life, we can do enough in order to avoid it, and in order to stay away from it. And this is what is referred to as tarheeb, shock, horrified. When you tell someone not to do something and you inform them of the consequences, the evil consequences which may take place. So Allah here is telling us that do not incline towards the oppressors, towards the unjust people. فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ, you will be punished by the hellfire. And he says that you have no one to protect you from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have no one who has authority above you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this verse is implying the prohibition of associating with anyone who commits an injustice, anyone who commits an evil. But what is the extent of prohibition? What determines associating with an oppressor? associating with someone who does an injustice. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا. The verse says, do not be inclined. تَرْكَنُوا comes from the word ruk. Rukun is the verb. Rukn is the word itself. Rukn is a cornerstone. So a ruk, a cornerstone, is that which gives support. Tarkanu means to incline in a way that you would provide support for an unjust person or for an oppressor. However, looking at the Quran itself and looking from the ahadith, we are given a definition which is expansive. So what actually falls under the category of inclining to the oppressors, which Allah says is punishable by the hellfire? Now, in other verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Cooperate in piety and in committing good deeds. And do not cooperate in the perpetration of sinful acts. Muslims are required by the Quran to cooperate in that which is good and not to cooperate in the perpetration of sinful acts if there is injustice taking place. It doesn't matter who is performing the injustice. Muslims are required to stay away from any form of injustice. So the Quran tells us to do good and to refrain from evil. Not to be inclined towards those who do evil. Not to give them support. The hadith tell us exactly what is support. What falls under the category of support. One hadith says the following, narrated from the fourth Imam, Al-Imam Zayn al-Abidin alayhi salam. He says, do not associate with those who oppress others. So this is a very general address. Anyone who commits an act of oppression, anyone who commits an act of injustice, do not associate, do not support, do not cooperate. This is a very general address. This is one hadith. Another hadith says the following. From the sixth Imam, Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he was one day asked if it is permissible to rent a premises to someone who is going to use that place, which is going to be rented, in order to sell alcohol. The Imam said no. This sort of rent is unlawful. So taking rent from someone who's going to sell alcohol, and you know he's going to sell alcohol, is not permissible. This is one side. A third hadith says the following. That the Prophet, and this is narrated from the fifth Imam, the Prophet condemned 10 people who are associated with the alcohol industry. He said that these 10 people are cursed. Number one, the ones who cultivate the grapes to make the wine. Number two, those who protect the vineyards, a guard who is protecting the vineyards. Number three, those who press the grapes to make the wine. And then those who transport it. Those who receive it. Those who buy it and those who sell it. Those who consume it and those who serve it. All of these people are condemned. So this is another specific hadith. Another hadith says the following. That a companion asked the Imam, he asked him that I am being coerced, I am being forced into offer my contract services, my building services to an oppressor. I have to build roads and I have to build dams and I have to build freeways. The Imam tells him the following, that I don't want you to be associated with an oppressor in any way. For those people who are associated with oppressors, for those people who provide them services, for those people who provide them support, they will be coaled in the fire on the Day of Judgment until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is done interrogating all of the souls and then he will come to their judgment. He will hold them accountable. So through these hadith, we can understand that it's not just association. It is, there are specific things which are condemned. There are specific things which a person is held accountable for. Now, of course, all of this only applies if the person is knowledgeable. If the person has knowledge of this support. If the person has knowledge that he is being associated with this injustice. So when the Prophet says that one of the people who are condemned is the one who guards the vineyard, of course, this person who guards the vineyard must know what he is guarding, and that the place he is guarding is being used to produce wine, and that wine is being sold, and that wine that people are consuming is contributing to the destruction of the moral fabric of society and destruction of families, so on and so forth. So knowledge is very important. Knowing that what you are doing is wrong. Because when you are not very closely associated, when you are remotely associated, usually you are unaware. So if I'm just a transporter and I don't know what I am transporting, then I cannot be held responsible. I cannot be held liable or accountable. So all of this is if a person is knowledgeable. But what we understand from these verses and what we understand from these ahadith is that there should be no association whatsoever with evil. There should be no association whatsoever in the perpetration of sinful acts. Now, it is said that one day, a man came to one of the scholars, Sheikh Murtala al-Ansari. Sheikh Murtala al-Ansari was a scholar who was of the highest caliber, and his books today are classic texts which are taught in the Hawza, jurisprudence and theology and the principles of jurisprudence. So because he was familiar with jurisprudence, one day a man came to him and he asked him a question. He narrates the story. He says that one day a man came and asked a question. He said that, "I am a tailor and I make clothes and I mend clothes for a dictator, for an oppressor." The Quran says, "وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ." Do not cooperate in the perpetration of sinful acts. And it also says, "وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ." Do not be inclined towards the oppressors, towards the dictators, those who perform injustices, lest you be afflicted by the hellfire. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. So this was his question. He said, "I'm a tailor and I'm making clothes." He says, "Do I fall under this category of those who provide a service for the oppressors?" So the scholar looked to him and he said, "The one which provides you with the needle and the thread is cooperating in the perpetration of sinful acts. He is the one who is associating himself with an oppressor. But you are an oppressor yourself." So what was he trying to teach him? He was trying to teach him that do not associate whatsoever, in any way, shape, or form, with those who perform injustices and those who perform oppression. And today, a lot of things fall under this category. So if you sell military equipment, for instance, and you know that this military equipment is going to be used against innocent civilians, or anything that you sell, you may have a company which provides a service, and this service in itself is permissible. However, you are providing this service to a person or a group which you know is deliberately going to use it against innocent people. This is not permitted. So any sort of involvement is not allowed. And from understanding the Quran and from understanding the hadith, we get a complete picture of what is allowed and what is not allowed. When it comes to the case of alcohol, there is a blunt prohibition. The Prophet says, whoever drinks it and whoever serves it and whoever creates it and whoever receives it and whoever provides it to other people, this is one of the things where it's specific. However, there are other things which, other categories which are not so specific. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. One thing which also falls under this category is when a person falls as an accessory to a crime. We hear this a lot in modern criminal terminology, legal terminology, is when a person stands as an accessory to a crime. When a person becomes an accessory to a crime, he is also held responsible. Even in Islamic legal terminology. History tells us that one day there was a man who he was known for his confrontational attitude, we'll say this. He was violent and he was known for his confrontational attitude. And he said something to a group of women who were standing by. And the way he said it was very horrible, and he scared them and he shocked them. It was a very horrible threat that he said. And one of the women who was pregnant, because she was so horrified and she was so shocked from this threat, he had threatened their life, that she had a miscarriage. She lost her child out of fear. So Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam, this was during his time, he says that you are responsible for paying her a compensation. And the compensation is the amount that you would pay for accidentally taking a life. That you are responsible. So the question is how much should we feel responsible when it comes to becoming an accessory to a crime or an accessory to an injustice? Now, from the Quran and from the Hadith, we understand that we should not in the slightest way have anything to do with injustice. We shouldn't have anything to do with oppression. So that includes committing a crime, that includes cooperating in a crime, that includes being an accessory to a crime. What that also includes is withholding information. We know today, in legal terms, a person can be held responsible if they were found withholding information which can lead to a prosecution. So if I committed a crime and I have a sibling or a friend or a partner or a coworker who knows about the crime and who withholds that information, that person can, in certain circumstances, also be prosecuted and share the responsibility that I have for the crime. Withholding information is very important because a lot of people do not find withholding information of a crime as a crime in itself. The Quran says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Do not support those who perform an injustice. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not cooperate in the perpetration of sinful acts. And one of the things which falls under the category of the perpetration of sinful acts is withholding information. You'd be very surprised today if you look at the amount of people who stay quiet when it comes to crime, especially when it comes to domestic abuse. You'd be very shocked if you look at the numbers. Many people choose to stay quiet when it comes to domestic abuse. And what does that do? That only gives the person who is responsible for the abuse more legitimacy. People who are victims of domestic violence, people who are victims of domestic sexual abuse, they spend years as victims, they are quiet about it, and there are others who are around them that are quiet about it, and that only gives more legitimacy to the person who is performing the abuse, the person who is responsible, the criminal. You'd be shocked if you look at the numbers. How many people stay quiet for years and years on end, and a lot of them have different reasons. Some of them stay quiet because it is out of fear. A victim may stay quiet because they think that by speaking, the person who is going to abuse them will inflict more damage. There are death threats which take place. Some of them, and this happens a lot with, especially with women, they are emotionally attached to the person who is abusing them. So it could be a partner, it could be a husband. They're emotionally attached to them and they don't want to hurt them by reporting the abuse. Some people are dependent on the person who is abusing them, whether it is a father, whether it is a spouse, whether it is a boyfriend, whatever it is, they are dependent on that person. Physically, they are dependent on that person. Financially, they are dependent on that person emotionally and spiritually. So they won't report that person. And it happens. Our responsibility is that we do not stay quiet. Staying quiet, knowing that a person is being tormented, knowing that a person is being abused, knowing that a person is being tortured, you may not be held responsible by the law, but as a Muslim, a conscious person, a God-fearing person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you accountable on the Day of Judgment. Many people do not report crimes. They are afraid of the consequences. And one of the consequences, one of the factors, let's not be, you know, it's easier said than done. When we speak about reporting people who are perpetrators of abuse, domestic violence, it's much easier said than done. However, it is something which needs to take place. It is an issue which cannot be ignored. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُوا النَّارِ وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. There should be cooperation. If you feel that you cannot stop abuse by yourself, you need to get other people involved. The Quran says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Cooperate. Sometimes you are not able to do good by yourself. Sometimes you are not able to forbid evil by yourself. That's why there needs to be cooperation. It's not enough that we talk about these issues. It's not enough that we say, you know, hold back your desires. Don't be an abusive person. I can't talk to a person who is abusive, you know, and just all of a sudden wave a magic wand above them and say, don't be abusive, and they're not going to be abusive anymore. Action needs to take place. That's why we need to have people in society who are trained, who understand these matters, who can approach a person. People who can look out for the signs, and they can approach them on a personal level. And they can ask them what's going on at home. This is very important. As believers, we need to be able to support each other. We need to be able to cooperate in doing good and forbidding evil, if we want to follow the words of the Quran. One factor which makes things complicated is customs and culture, not religion. Customs and culture. One thing, and this is why you find that domestic abuse and sexual violence at home becomes more prevalent with minorities, is because there is a very complicated factor, and that is the factor of reputation. The factor of reputation. If culture, if the people around you find out that there is domestic abuse, that there is sexual violence, it's unacceptable. And the things which we are willing to do in order to protect our customs and our culture, we would rather prioritize our customs, our culture, over our religion, and over our health, and over our well-being, and over our lives, and over the benefit of society, and over the benefit of our families. People, you'd be surprised how many people, they stay quiet when it comes to violence. Why? Because they don't want to ruin the reputation of the family. They stay quiet when it comes to sexual abuse, physical abuse, because they don't want to ruin the reputation of the victim. And what does this do? This only increases in the victimization. It only increases in the legitimacy of the person who is perpetrating these evil acts, these sinful acts. So, as a community, we need to be able to cooperate in doing good, and we need to be able to cooperate in forbidding that which is evil. It's not something which is theoretical. It's not something which is only spoken on the pulpit. We need to translate everything that we learn in the Quran and everything that we learn in the Hadith into something which is tangible, if we want to protect our society and if we want to protect our community. So, falling under the category of cooperating in the perpetration of sinful acts. Now, there are laws which specifically address this. People who cooperate in the perpetration of sinful acts, one of the laws is that they cannot gain benefit from the concession which says that a person who is traveling can break their fast and can shorten their prayers. So if a person travels in order to do evil, in order to perform a sinful act, then he is not given the permission to make his prayers in half. He is not given the permission to break his fast. So if a person is performing a sinful act, if he travels, for instance, to Las Vegas in order to gamble and drink, this is considered safar ma'asiyah, a travel of disobedience. And a person who is traveling in disobedience may not shorten their prayers. Now I know what you're thinking, that a person who is going to Las Vegas to gamble and drink and do this and that isn't thinking about their prayers. That's true. They may not be thinking about their prayers. But later on in life, 5, 10 years down the road or whenever, if they want to make up their prayers, this is where the issue has value. Is that do they make it up as a full prayer or do they make it up as a half prayer? They would have to make it up as a full prayer. So the Quran tells us do not cooperate in the perpetration of sinful acts. The Hadith suggests the same. What does history tell us? In history, when we look at the tragedy of Ashura, we all read Ziyarat Ashura and we all read Ziyarat Warith. Among the people who were condemned in Ziyarat Ashura are not only the perpetrators of the sinful acts, not only were they the murderers, but who is also condemned? وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً أَسْرَجَتْ وَأَلْجَمَتْ وَتَهَيَّأَتْ. What is this أَسْرَجَتْ وَأَلْجَمَتْ? What does it refer to? أَسْرَجَتْ and أَلْجَمَتْ are the people, not the people who actually performed the sinful act, not the people who were involved in the murder, not the people who brought water to the soldiers, not the people who provided comfort and care to the soldiers, the people who prepared the horses and camels, the people who prepared the saddle and placed it on the back of the horse and the camel. Even that form of association is condemned. Not only that, those who heard about the tragedy and stayed indifferent. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً سَمِعَتْ بِذَلِكَ فَرَضِيَتْ بِهِ. The people who are condemned in this ziyarah are the ones who heard about the tragedy and they remained indifferent. This is also a form of association. This is also a form of cooperating in evil. When you hear about something and you remain indifferent. When you hear about something and you report it, and you do not report it. When you hear that someone has been doing evil and that does not affect you, this is telling us, and these are not random words, these are words of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. These words are telling us that you hear it and you remain indifferent, it is as if you are participating in the act itself. That's why other hadith tell us to have concern and have worry when it comes to our Muslim brothers and sisters. Whatever we hear across the globe, the news that comes in from around the world, if we hear it and we remain indifferent, we are not moved. In a way, what the hadith tells us is that you are associating and you are cooperating in the perpetration of that sinful act. When you remain indifferent, when you do nothing about it. So what have we come to? The Quran and the hadith tell us that there should be no association whatsoever with any form of evil, whether it is perpetrating it directly, whether it is providing the means, whether it is providing the way, whether it is providing legitimacy, whether it is not reporting it, or whether it is simply hearing about it and feeling indifference and not being moved. This is a true Muslim. A Muslim who rejects all forms of oppression and all forms of injustices. It does not matter who the oppressor is. The oppressor could be your own brother, could be your cousin, could be from your own religion, could be from your own school of thought, could be from your own political party. It does not matter. Oppression is oppression, and injustice is injustice. And as conscious believers, we are required to stand against that. That's why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stand against every oppressor and every person who performs an injustice. It does not matter what country they are ruling. It does not matter what political party they belong to. If they are an oppressor and a person who commits an injustice, then we distance ourselves and we seek proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by distancing ourselves from those people. So no association whatsoever. No cooperation whatsoever. One question which is asked, and I'll leave you with this. One question which is asked, some people ask us as the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. They say that you, the Shia, you say that after Rasulullah, after the martyrdom of Rasulullah, so many injustices took place by Fulan and Fulan and Fulan. Well, if this is the case, and if the Qur'an requires us to distance ourselves from oppression and injustice, why did not the Ahlul Bayt, Ali ibn Abi Talib, was he not there in order to distance himself from the injustices and the oppressions which took place? If you claim that there is actually an oppression which took place, then why did your Imam do nothing about it? Why did he remain indifferent? This is a very important question that we all need to know the answer to, inshallah. Inshallah, in one of the coming nights we will address this question. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to distance ourselves from all forms of oppression and injustice. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this holy month with His mercy and His forgiveness, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma ighfir lil-mu'minina wal-mu'minat wal-muslimina wal-muslimat الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك على كل شيء قدير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين